right, here we go. Hour number three on Monday. Mitchell Henderson is back with us tonight. Lebanon says Israeli airstrikes, those are U.S. Israeli airstrikes. They're our jets, our bombs, lots of tech, etc., shared with the Israeli government. The U.S. is involved up to its eyes. It's serving its master. It's what it does. It's nothing new. It's a fact. Lebanon says Israeli airstrikes killed nearly 500 people yesterday in the deadliest day of attacks in decades in Lebanon. So it's ramping up there. They're looking at Lebanon like they looked at Gaza, I think, before they got totally engaged. These atrocities must end, top UN officials demand, several of them, an end to the human suffering in Gaza. There's no excuse for any of it. U.S. weapons will still flow to Israel as Israel hits Lebanon, as I said, and killed 500 or thereabout. U.S. is sending more troops to the Middle East. That's kind of amusing when you think about it. We're not able to engage in a war in the Middle East and against Russia and against the Chinese, should they try and take Taiwan. Israel kills another 24 Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. You can't take any of these statements and hold on to them as real truth. You don't know. It could have been 200 dead or two. We just don't know. The news coming out of there is very unreliable all the way around. Iranian president says... Oh, of course it is. The new Iranian president says Israel is laying traps to draw Iran into the war. Now, that may be truthful. That's one of the most truthful parts of this little rundown. Mitchell Henderson is standing by. He's going to talk to us tonight about more issues that you'll not find in the mainstream media ever. Doesn't happen. Welcome back, Mitch.
Thank you. Actually, I want to start off tonight. When I talked a couple of weeks ago about fighting in the countryside, sent in and asked about Turkey taking up firing positions in trees. Now, lots of people have asked me that, so I think it's something we should address.
Good.
Now, first, understand that you only want to fire once or twice from any given position because your opponent can locate you after firing a couple of times from one position. Once located, you can be shot at and you can be hit. You always want to take the fighting position that gives you many options to change position. When
right.
you leave one position for another, you do not want to be seen, and you want to have cover from your opponent's fire while moving to your next position. There are several problems from firing from a tree. First, it is difficult to get down from a tree. Second, you are dangerously exposed to your opponent's fire while descending. Third, you will not be able to shoot accurately while descending. So never put yourself in a position where you are restricted from moving. And that would be a tree. It very restricts your moving. Fire and maneuver are both critical to staying alive in a gunfight. The maneuver is your ability to move to a different place without getting hit. Okay? Now, right. the only proviso I'll put on that is in flat, open country, it might be wise to take up a position in a tree if you're like 600 to 1,000 yards away, okay, to get a good shot at oncoming enemy. But still, even then, you only want to take a few shots before you move.
Mitch, 600 yards to 1,000 yards, who the hell can shoot accurately at that distance? Not many of us.
Well, with the sniper rifle, you could.
I get it.
Okay.
I get it.
So, but with a common rifle, with an AR-15, you can't do it. So there's no point in going up a tree.
No.
You're just putting yourself in a bad position. So I just wanted to address that.
Well, remember in World War II, everybody, one more thing, Mitch. The Japanese, as you well know, in World War II had a lot of tree snipers, especially in the Pacific Islands. They'd send them up there with a bag of rice, and they'd stay up there. And most of them would end up being shot while they're up in the tree. I talked to some veterans about that. So, no, it's not a good thing unless you're making a one-way trip up, and you expect to kind of meet your maker there.
Yeah. That's right. So let's talk about the Ukrainian-ISIS alliance and what it means. So in March 2011, the CIA sparked a color revolution in Syria to depose the Assad regime. The objective was to depose the Assad regime, which protected national minorities such as Shia Muslim, Alawites, Druze, Christians, and Yazidis, and install a Sunni Arab government that would kick the Russian bases out, break ties with Iran, and make peace with Israel.
Right.
This would be devastating for religious minorities, including Christians in Syria. As a matter of fact, since invading Iraq in 2003, the United States has created the conditions that has led to the extermination of almost all Christians in the Middle East. What Muslims did not do in 2,000 years, we have done in 20 years. The Sunnis were particularly brutal to them. The United States wanted military bases in Syria in order to keep Syria from attacking Israel and Israel from attacking Syria. As the war dragged on, the United States actively supported, supplied, and nurtured both the al-Nusra Front and ISIS in Syria. At the time of the attack on the U.S. Embassy in Benghazi, the CIA was purchasing weapons from jihadist groups in Libya to send to Syria to arm the al-Nusra Front and ISIS. This was revealed by Seymour Hersh in April 2014. The CIA worked with the Turkish National Intelligence, the Milli İstihbarat Teşkilatı, or MIT. MIT agents were captured on the battlefield fighting alongside ISIS as advisors and were among the ISIS dead after battles. The MIT sent truckloads of arms through Turkey to ISIS in Syria. There were lots of witnesses and photographic proof. Reuters reported on this twice in May 2015. The founders of Jabhat al-Nusra, the Nusra Front, were Abu Muhammad al-Zawlani and Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who was the founder of ISIS. Later, al-Nusra Front broke ties with al-Qaeda, just like ISIS did, and formed the Jabhat Fatah al-Sham, which later changed its name to Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, or HTS, the Organization for the Liberation of the Levant. This has, from the beginning, been a franchise of the CIA, just like ISIS. On September 18, 2024, it was reported that 250 Ukrainian GRU agents went to Idlib province of Syria to help the HTS terrorists build and improve drones to attack Russian and Syrian troops in Syria. The U.S. CIA put the Ukrainians in touch with their Islamic terrorist clients in the HTS. Another offshoot of ISIS, the Jamaat Nusrat al-Islam wal-Muslimin, or JNIM, or the Islamic State in the Greater Sahara, is also a client of the CIA. Since the Wagner Group had taken over counterterrorism in Mali, the CIA hooked Ukrainian intelligence up with the JNIM in Mali and helped them plan and supply an attack on Malian and Wagner forces in Mali on July 15th. The CIA provided the intelligence for the terrorist attack on Malian forces. If you remember, Niger and Chad both asked American forces to leave their countries because they accused the United States of supporting ISIS forces in their nations. They argued that the only way to defeat Islamic terrorists was to kick the United States forces out. For 12 years, we supported ISIS in order to keep a presence in Niger and Chad. Burkina Faso and Mali accused the French of doing the same thing and caught the French red-handed giving arms and money to ISIS fighters in their countries.
And Mitch, let me ask you a question. If we want to trace back the origin of ISIS, where do we end up? We end up with
the CIA.
CIA. Yeah.
The CIA.
And that means CIA / Mossad, because they operate in Israel's backyard.
Yes. And they do what Israel wants them to do, as well as we.
Right.
So you can see that there is a clear and obvious connection between ISIS, the CIA, and Ukrainian intelligence. Let's look back to March 22nd, 2024. ISIS attacked the Quokka City Hall concert in Moscow and slaughtered 145 and innocent civilians and wounded 551. These were not military targets. They were civilian men and women. The U.S. and Ukraine denied any involvement. What do you think? It was obviously a CIA Ukrainian-run terrorist attack. Even Russia has no doubt about this. Okay. Go back to the January 3rd, 2024 ISIS attack in Kerman, Iran. They killed 84 and wounded 284 innocent civilians. Not military personnel, but civilians. What did these two terrorist attacks have in common? They were both attacks on nations that supported Palestinians against Israel, Iran, and Russia. Why would ISIS attack the enemy of their enemy? Why would ISIS conduct two terrorist attacks that supported their enemy, the United States and Israel? It does not make sense. The second thing is that the United States claimed that it warned both Iran and Russia before the attacks. How did we know it was going to take place? Because we planned and financed both attacks. I bring this up, this total lack of morality and humanity on the part of the pedophile Biden regime and Secretary Blinken to illustrate another point, the Great Reset. The World Economic Forum says that they need to cull the Earth's population by 7.5 billion human beings so they can save the planet. Do our leaders have the moral depravity to actually exterminate 7.5 billion human beings? They are Marxists. Marx said, producing many useful products will produce many useless people. Exterminating the people is necessary for a Marxist world that puts materialism before any spiritual values. Stalin said, one man's death is a tragedy. A million men's death is a statistic. This is the source of their heartless cynicism. In Marxist reasoning, the machine has replaced the human, and they only need about 500 million humans to run this post-human world for the benefit of a plutocratic oligarchy. The global elite is that oligarchy. Instead of the masses owning the means of production, the global elite will own it, and the masses will be their slaves. That is their plan. They make no secret of it. They say it all the time. You can go to their website. Okay? The global elite can use ISIS to create death and disorder to destabilize the world. ISIS are clearly the beasts of the earth. The global elite has zero morality and zero ethics. They follow the Marxist dictum that the ends justify the means. The pretext that they use to push us into World War III is that we must have freedom and democracy. The Harris Walls 2024 campaign has made the right of women to murder their babies the centerpiece of their presidential campaign. That is the freedom that they are talking about, the freedom to do evil. What is the pretext for exterminating 7.5 billion people? Global warming. The earth must be saved from humanity. The global elite and Marxism is a death cult. It is the epitome of hatred and inhumanity. Anthropogenic global warming is a damn lie. It is the false religion that the whole world believes in. It is religion that will drive humanity into poverty, famine, and pestilence. It not only puts the earth before man, but it also puts the global elite before God. 8 billion human beings cannot survive without carbon-based fuels. Life cannot exist without carbon dioxide. This is why they are outlawing carbon-based fuels and making you pay for the Green New Deal, because the Green New Deal is the global elite's final solution to exterminate humanity. Let's get fundamental and basic about this, okay? And this is very basic, and this is plain to see. It is simple. What is the chemical reaction that all life forms depend on? Water and carbon dioxide making cellulose and glucose. That is the chemical reaction for life. All of the plant life that you will see on the earth is made up of cellulose. Cellulose is made by combining water and carbon dioxide together through photosynthesis. Cellulose is C6H10O5. The product also makes oxygen for us to breathe. So 5H2O molecules, 6 CO2 molecules, makes one cellulose molecule, and plus six oxygen molecules. So oxygen molecule is O2, becomes paired.
Right.
Life needs to eat and live and grow. And what the cells eat is dextrose or glucose. Life needs oxygen to breathe and live. It is dextrose and the oxygen that creates the energy that we move and stuff. That's the fuel that runs humans and all animals and plants. Plants both make both of these out of sunlight through photosynthesis. So six H2O molecules plus six carbon dioxide molecules makes one glucose molecule and six oxygen molecules. Life is carbon dioxide and water, which is the basis for life on Earth. If you want to trust the science and deal with facts, this is basic chemistry. It is objective science. There is no politics or religion here. These are material facts, not beliefs. By cutting out carbon dioxide, they're cutting out life, okay? The climate change agenda and the Green New Deal is a hateful and satanic death cult. That is nothing more than the global elite not wanting to share food and air with you. I bet people's eyes glass over when I say this, but it is so basic and fundamental that it is absurd that people simply do not think it's important. Is your life important to you? This chemical formula of making food and oxygen out of carbon dioxide and water is fundamental to life, but the global elite has you believing that the carbon dioxide is a threat to all life on Earth. Actually, it's an inversion because the threat to all life on Earth is taking carbon dioxide away.
Correct.
Declaring war on carbon dioxide is declaring life war on life.
Life.
It is fundamentally a lie, and it is the pretext for murdering you and all who you love. Yet you simply will not believe it, no matter what you will believe in climate change, just like you believe that Christ is coming to save Israel and the Jews instead of Christians. We are lost because we fundamentally believe what the global elites want us to believe. They are fundamentally lying to you, and as long as you believe their lies, they still ultimately own you. Will the global elite, who so fundamentally lie to you, murder you? Yes, they will, without hesitation or remorse. They will kill you in terrorist attacks. They will deprive you of the fuel you need to stay warm in winter or to transport the food you need to market. They will destroy you in a thermonuclear war. They hate you. They want you dead. They say they want you dead, but most people will just never believe what they're being clearly told. They believe that their psychopathic murderers told them. Now is the time to wake up. Your government leaders mean you harm. So let's move on to the Harris-Walz Great Reset Agenda. The central goal of the Harris-Walz administration will be to destroy the patriarchy, the family, and the home. You see, to destroy private property so that we can all own nothing and be happy, they must destroy home ownership, which will help destroy the family, which will destroy the patriarchy. Then we can fulfill Engels' idea of a communist world run by women, as he postulated in his book, The Origins of the Family, Property, and the State. In particular, Harris wants to do two things in regard to the home. First, she wants to tax unrealized capital gains. This means that if you purchased your home last year for $500,000, and due to inflation that the Biden administration caused, the severe housing shortage that the Biden administration and BlackRock have engineered, and the higher interest rates that they engineered, your house is now worth $600,000. Mm-hmm. Even though you are not selling your house this year, and will not see any of this money in your pocket, they want to tax the increase on the value of your home. That would be 20% or $20,000 that you must pay the federal government in order to live in your home. In effect, the federal government owns your home, and you must pay rent to live there. Imagine a market like the early 2000s. Say your home doubles in value over 1 year. BlackRock can make this happen by the sheer volume of single-family homes they own. Say the value of your home doubled in 1 year to $1 million. Your capital gains would be $100,000, more money than you made that year. This means that the government would seize your home to satisfy taxes, and you would lose your home. The second policy that Harris and Walz wants is racial equity in mortgages. They will mandate that you cannot keep your 30-year fixed mortgage of, say, 4% because it is racist for you to have a fixed-rate mortgage just because you work hard and are financially responsible. They want you to pay an adjustable-rate mortgage like people who are not responsible with their finances. With the government printing ever much more money for deficit spending, inflation is guaranteed, as are the skyrocketing interest rates that are a consequence of inflation. That means that every year your interest rate goes up until the cost of your mortgage is beyond your ability to pay. The bank forecloses on your home. The federal government can then put illegal aliens into your homes. This is heartless and cynical. It destroys the home to destroy the family stability.
Okay? It's called taxing unrealized profits, which they're literally creating. These are profits you'll never see. They're doing it through inflation, among other things. This is a war on home ownership. It's a war on what's left of American society.
Yep.
Hold on, Mitch, just a second. We have to take a break. Hold on a sec. We'll come right back. So, okay, lessons learned. Be ready. Don't climb trees with your rifle, unless it's one hell of a sniper rifle. And just prepare. I think of how many people I know who aren't prepared in the least, and I just don't have any idea what they're going to do. No clue. Be right back. Okay, welcome back. An interesting little story just popped across the desk. Chicago black gang members. These are the toughest of the tough, some of these people, have issued a dire warning about the Venezuelans in town in a shocking twist. Get this one. Chicago gang members are sounding alarms about the dangers posed by the Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua. Aragua? I guess it's Aragua. According to the New York Post, former gang leader Tyrone Mohammed, now head of the Ex-Cons for Community and Social Change, didn't mince words about foreign gangs wreaking havoc on Chicago's South Side, blaming the Biden-Harris administration for the crisis. He said, quote, "When the black gangs here get fed up with the illegalities and criminal activities of these migrants or non-citizens, the city of Chicago is going to go up in flames. And there will be nothing the National Guard or the government can do about it when the bloodshed hits the streets. It'll be blacks against invaders." He called them migrants. There you go. So, yeah, Chicago may be the first city to go up. We'll see. They're getting tired of these gangsters. They're very deadly. Venezuela flushed its toilet, and we got it, thanks to Harris and Biden. Go ahead, Mitch.
Well, we need to look at what you just said in another context, okay? First context is the Muriel boat lift in 1980, where Castro emptied all his jails and sent all his criminals and homosexuals and stuff to the United States.
Good point.
Okay, and I was a cop in Tampa when that crime wave hit. Okay, so I remember it well. The second is more racial, okay? And it has to do with black people just don't understand that Democrats want to exterminate them. They've never been for them, ever. It's the Democrats who made the Ku Klux Klan. It's the Democrats that made Jim Crow laws. It's the Democrats that have always had them out for them. So what did the Democrats do in Southern California? 30 years ago, the biggest gangs in L.A. were black gangs, the Bloods and the Crips. Now they are outnumbered 2-1 by Latin gangs. So if there's a big conflict, the black people are going to be wiped out by these Latin gangs. Now they're doing it in Chicago, and the black people are wise to it. They see what's going
on.
Okay? So it's like Trump says, well, you know what? This is something Tucker Carlson said on the thing when he was accused by this Australian journalist of talking about white replacement. Tucker Carlson said, no, no, no, this is American replacement, because black people are Americans, and these people coming in are replacing them. They're getting all the resources and assets that the black people were supposed to get. Okay?
Yeah. So, I think this is going to blow up soon. I do.
Yeah.
Chicago,
yeah, yeah,
it's,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
That gang is really satanic, from what I read.
And let me tell you, the Democrats are not on the side of the black people or the black gangs or
no,
the black anything.
Okay? I agree.
They use them. That's all. The BLM is just an unwitting stooge army. Okay, that the Democrats use, and it's not even for their benefit. Okay. So just go on with the war in Ukraine and Israel.
Okay.
So the pedophile Biden regime is pushing us to war in Ukraine and Israel, both which could lead to a thermonuclear war with Russia. Secretary of State Blinken seems like a complete idiot for risking nuclear war to bring sodomy and feminism to Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran. What better way to exterminate 7.5 billion human beings? I would estimate that no more than 500 million people would die on the first day of a global total nuclear war. Within a year of that war beginning, 7 billion human beings could be dead. Okay. Well, 6.5 billion. That would leave them their half a billion.
Sure.
Russia has said that if we allow Ukraine to use long-range missiles, then Russia will be at war with NATO. This is a very clear and unambiguous ultimatum. If we do it, we will die. It is Blinken risking your life in a useless and cynical political gambit trying to make the pedophile Biden regime look strong before the election. Russia published a complete list of Russia's enemies this past weekend. Russia did that for a reason, to make clear who they would be at war with. Some places will be totally destroyed because they felt like they had to virtue signal over Ukraine. These include, and these are listed by Russia, these include the many states of Andorra, Liechtenstein, Luxembourg, Monaco, Malta, San Marino, and Singapore. They will not exist to ever virtue signal at the expense of another nation again. That will be 7 UN votes canceled by canceling the existence of those nations. One nuke could destroy each of those nations. Okay. The Bahamas, who could have just minded their own business, will now have to suffer a nuclear attack. What wonderful and pointless thing the leaders are doing for them. Russia will probably nuke Andros Town and the Andros Islands because there is a U.S. Navy base there and attack Nassau punitively. This will actually be part of a preventive nuclear strike on British Navy and military regiments in the Caribbean that can back up U.S. Navy and Air Forces in time of war. This includes Bermuda, the Turks and Caicos Islands, and the Cayman Islands. Aside from the small military forces present now, there are also facilities for expanding British and American military forces in case of emergency. Attacking them also protects Cuba from American adventurism. These are also centers for offshore bank catering to American, Canadian, and European businesses. They all deal in the dollar, pound, and euro. It would help the de-dollarization to vaporize them and all of the records. In addition, it would be a lesson to these small offshore territories to not tie their fortunes to NATO powers, or they will suffer the punishments that they do. On the other side of the world, Australia, New Zealand, the Federated States of Micronesia, Palau, and the Marshall Islands have made the nuclear target list. These nations have major ports and some logistical capabilities. Australia has the major targets of Brisbane, Newcastle, Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, Fremantle, Headland, and Darwin. These are major points. Canberra will be taken to knock out command and control, and Perth and Hobart will be attacked to eliminate alternate sites. New Zealand's ports of Tauranga, Auckland, Wellington, Napier, and Leighton, as well as Christchurch and Invercargill, will be attacked. Unarmed Iceland is now a nuclear target. non-European nations like South Korea, Japan, and Taiwan are now nuclear targets of Russia. They have all lost their neutrality. Keep in mind that all NATO nation military bases on any NATO nation's overseas territories will be taken out in nuclear attacks. No place will be safe. No place will be spared. The Russian total war nuclear attack will strike everywhere on Earth. The American military is mistaken if they think these remote places will be spared. They will nuke Guam, the Mariana Islands, American Samoa. It is a mistake to think that there will be no nuclear attacks in the Southern Hemisphere. There certainly will be. Three NATO nations, on the other hand, are not Russian nuclear targets: Slovakia, Hungary, and Turkey. They don't have nuclear weapons themselves. I mean, Turkey, there's American weapons stationed there, but they don't have them themselves. Russia knows that a major attack on their bases at Murmansk on the Arctic Ocean were launched from Finland. A major ammunition depot northwest of Moscow was struck with NATO weapons launched from Estonia. Last week, I mean, they know that it was us, that we did that. They know we did that, okay?
That was a huge...
We don't claim any responsibility doesn't mean that they don't know we did it.
No. Mitch, okay? that munitions base was huge. And it was hit with missiles. And it was apparently... Yes. Now, somebody wrote in, and I can't remember who, thank you, whoever did, and said that occurred the day after the alleged possible Russian submarine-launched cruise missile attack on the Joe Creek Naval Submarine Communications Facility about 50 miles east of Bremerton, Washington. We think that was a warning from the Russians to cool it and back off. They sent in a cruise missile. Of course, the U.S. government would never admit that to the people, so we'll never hear about it. But something went off at the 2,300-foot level at the Joe Creek Naval Submarine Communications Facility, which was released publicly by the U.S. Geological Survey, not as an earthquake, but as an other event. Quote, end quote, an other event. What the hell is that? Okay, so think about it. You can figure it out. The next day, that Russian weapons depot, it was huge. They had S-300s, S-400s in there. They had all kinds of weaponry. That went up, hit by missiles in Russia. This is seriously into Russia, too. So it might have been a tit-for-tat
thing. That was a seriously good missile.
Yes.
From Estonia. That was a good missile.
Yeah.
Not some crappy thing that Ukraine has.
Right.
So last week, the United States and the United Kingdom decided to not publicly announce that Ukraine could use American British long-range missiles to attack deep into Russia because Putin publicly announced that Russia will be at war with NATO if they allow it. NATO General Secretary Jens Stoltenberg announced that the U.S. and U.K. privately gave Ukraine the go-ahead to use NATO weapons to strike deep into Russia and said confidently that Russia was not going to do anything about it because they never do. However, this coming Friday, Zelensky is meeting with Biden with his victory plan, which includes allowing Ukraine to attack deep into Russia and special financing put in place by the United States so that Trump cannot stop it if he gets elected. Can you imagine that?
That's just incredible what's going on. Truly.
Zelensky thinks he can win total victory over Russia and cause Russia's total defeat. Zelensky is delusional.
But he's mad.
But you know what?
The
guy he's going to talk to on Friday is brain dead. Okay?
He's talking to Biden. He's also going to present that to Trump. He's presenting it to Harris, Biden, and Trump, his victory plan. That's what the news says.
Yeah, I don't
think... war.com.
Yeah, I think Trump is aware that he's delusional.
Of course.
Okay, and Blinken is delusional also. So these people are just delusional people. That is a gamble that the old communist Stoltenberg is willing to take with your life. So Zelensky cares less about American lives than he does about Ukrainian lives. Over 700,000 Ukrainian men have already died for sodomy, abortion, and feminism. Once again, this is not a statement or a threat from Russia. It is a clear and unambiguous war ultimatum. On the actual battleground, Russia is picking up steam in the offense in both the Donbass and Kursk. Russians are completing their mission of destroying the Ukrainian military. Meanwhile, Zelensky said that only 31,000 Ukrainian soldiers have died in the war, but over 1 million Russian soldiers have died.
He's got an ass backwards.
I guess that if the media in the West says that Harris is wildly popular, he can get away with his delusional pronouncements also. So moving on to Israel. Hezbollah declared war on Israel after the pager and walkie-talkie cyber attacks that Israel carried out in Lebanon. Arrogantly, the United States and Israel do not recognize Hezbollah's declaration of war. Just like if Russia says we are at war with them, we will just say, no, we are not. Somehow that settles the issue. The Israeli cyber attack let the cat out of the bag concerning cyber attack capabilities. They merely sent signals to make the lithium batteries in these devices short-circuit themselves and explode. Even Colonel Douglas MacArthur mentioned this on a podcast. The story that Israel had planted explosives in all these devices was a cover story intended to keep the real capability secret. We thought the kill shot was an efficient tool of mass genocide. Weaponizing your cell phone is even better. They have three ways to do this. Call your device individually, just like they would call you. Call all devices in a geographical area like they do for weather alerts and Amber alerts. Or call everyone. Everyone is so tethered to their cell phone pads or laptops that they can execute millions of people simultaneously. The possibilities are endless. If Iran gets involved in Lebanon's war and the United States gets involved in attacking Iran, then Russia will attack Israel and the United States. If you follow Christian eschatology, imagine this. As we go into the final month of the election, we are pushing war on three fronts, Ukraine, Israel, and China. The Antichrist will miraculously save us from those wars for a while. Both Harris and Trump are the Antichrist. A vote for Harris is a vote for a sooner war, clearly within a year. A vote for Trump buys you more time to prepare because he will reduce tension over Ukraine, but he will be in a nuclear war over Israel within 4 years. But that is a few more years to spend with your family and friends and to get ready. And the November 2024 election is not about who becomes president. You are voting for less time to prepare and live with Harris, or more time with Trump. Please consider your family and friends. They would probably like to live a few years longer. Okay.
It's a very astute and correct analysis.
The thermonuclear war is coming, and it's no more than 4 years out. And it doesn't matter who's in charge. Like I've said before, within the United States, if Harris wins, she's the Antichrist. If Trump wins, he's the Antichrist. Around the world, if NATO wins, NATO's the Antichrist. If BRICS wins, BRICS is the Antichrist. So it's a loaded game. No matter which way you go, the Antichrist is in charge, okay? And he has only one goal, and that's to exterminate us. That's it.
Yeah.
That's their goal. That's their stated goal. I mean, if you look on the World Economic Forum website, they don't keep it a secret.
No.
They just come out and say it.
Here's another angle that nobody talks about. Americans don't understand how much of their legal system, their judges, their courts, have been penetrated and co-opted by communists. They don't understand. They don't have a clue. Here's another story. I try to cover these. A Texas judge threw out all charges and prosecutions against that Venezuelan gang, Tren de Aragua, or otherwise known as TDA. They were all in here illegally. They're invaders. This judge named Umberto, what the hell's his name? I'm going to give him credit here if I can find it. Umberto Acosta dismissed all charges against more than 100 members. These are killers of this gang. Turned them out on the streets, let them go right here in the U.S. This is a communist judge. There are lots of them in courts all over this country now. That's another way they got in and tunneled in, and they're taking us down. Go ahead.
Well, listen, keep in mind about this, too. If you're a person of color, I've heard congressmen from California just say this openly, the goal of these people is to not put people of color in jail. So you have to keep this in mind. If you are a person of color and you do any crime, they will kick you out back on the street as soon as they can. They will not punish you harshly. But if you're a white person, they're going to throw the book at you and jail you for as long as they can. They're not there to cut you a break. They're there to cut people of color a break. And I don't, you know, I can listen to liberals right now say, no, that's not true. Look at the news every day, all the time. It is so apparent, you know. I mean, there's even this thing, it's like they had this shooting in Birmingham, and right away I could tell that this, in this mass shooting, I could tell that it wasn't white guys. You know how you can tell it's not white people that do the crime? Because if it is white people, they will tell you white people did it immediately.
Oh, so for a headline, that would be the first line in the news story.
Did,
yes.
Yeah. If they don't tell you that it was a white person, then even though they won't say it, they'll ask for your help in catching them, but they will not tell you what race they are or ethnicity. They won't do that.
It's true.
So, you know, I mean, it is ingrained in our system. So these people who are talking about the Great Replacement and white genocide and stuff, well, listen, if it looks like a duck, it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, it really must be a duck, okay?
Of course it's a duck.
So, I mean, you can kind of tell that this is what's going on, okay?
I agree. Yeah, it's so bad, Mitch. It's just tragically, unimaginably bad. And that sounds alarmist. It may sound a little bit paranoid. I think the most paranoid are the most likely to survive. Think about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, paranoia will keep you alive. I mean, you know, it's like my survival through this life and all the things I've had to deal with, that didn't come from having a lackadaisical attitude about the threats to me. I tried to always realistically assess the threat, and then be more paranoid than that, be more careful than that.
Very smart. Yeah.
So,
here's a very strange thought. Inner city black gangs may be the only equalizer we have left.
Yeah. Yeah, if they would wake up and see that they're the target, too. The replacement, like I said before, isn't just to replace white people. It's to replace black people, too. Okay.
So they I think they're waking Americans. Up to that fact after reading that story about Chicago. I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got everything to lose, just like the rest of us, actually.
They do.
So it's not
good.
Oh,
yeah, they do. So the unfortunate thing is if you're white, you're not going to get a fair trial. Just look back at the January 6th trials. I mean, people for petty misdemeanors doing 20
disgrace.
Years. Come on.
Disgrace. You know? Beyond disgraceful. Yeah. Beyond belief. Disgraceful. Horrible.
Yeah.
Truly. Okay, my friend, thank you. Talk to you next week, Mitch. I hope. God, it's getting bad out there. And we see it for what it generally really is, but the The majority of Americans who watch the mainstream media or get caught up with all the BS and the alt-news media, they don't have much of a chance. It's just that way. All right, you be good. Take care.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Thanks,
everybody.
Mitch. All right. Okay, that's it for Monday. Rolling on into Tuesday. We're running out of time, friends. Talk to you tomorrow night. Take care.